the aisle and whatever. Years ago, I had a little key ring, and it had a little quote on the back of it that I hadn't ever heard before, but I have heard it a few times since then. And I was trying to go through our attic, which is full of a lot of things, and I couldn't find it. But it's this saying that is the back of the little message title that I gave it today. It said, "A man never stands so tall as when he stoops to help a child." And I think that's an amazing statement, one that we often forget. Thought today we'd pause on our trek through the Beatitudes in Matthew and look at this passage here, which in a sense in Mark is a bit of a transition passage. There are many of these kind of passages that we neglect in the Gospels, sort of interactions that happen with Jesus, but they're almost seems like they're recorded in order to just cover things while we're waiting for the next important encounter, if you like, that's happening. And this, I'm sure, if you look at that passage in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus has been doing a lot of teaching, there's been lots and lots of crowds, and he's in a house, and there's people everywhere. And then maybe there's a pause, and people are sort of wandering off, talking to one another, thinking about what they're going to do for lunch or whatever. And in that moment, there's just a brief opportunity for the parents to come in a bit closer to Jesus, because it's been the heavies that have been taking up a lot of his time, the lawyers, the religious leaders, and all of those sorts of things. Parents were bringing children to him so that he could touch them and bless them. But the disciples reprimanded him and discouraged them from coming. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, and I most solemnly say to you, whoever does not receive and welcome the kingdom of God like a child does, will not enter it at all." And he took the children one by one in his arms, and he blessed them with kind, encouraging words, and he placed his hands on them. A man, a woman, young person, never stands so tall as when he stoops to help a child. Or that could be an invalid, using the terminology that was in the translation that Roland read to us. Someone in need, might be an older person. The people that often are seen, and certainly in biblical days, were seen as being unimportant. They brought their children to him that he might touch them. Isn't that an interesting thing? To be touched by Jesus is the most significant thing. I don't mean to be touched by his hands. That's not something that we can have these days. We're not there back in those days. When I was a little kid, I would have loved to have been one of the disciples, just to, to look at him. The way, did you see the way faith was. Joys the same when they were tiny, their first little accident or whatever like that. Now, for these parents, this was not just nobody. This was a child. This was a precious human being, and they wanted Jesus to touch them. They wanted the child to come close to Jesus. Where does a parent take their child to be touched by Jesus? Would they take the child to church? Would they take the child to Sunday school? We call our Sunday school Groovy. Do you get a Bible? Do you open up the Bible? Do you tell them the stories from the Bible? Do you read that? Do you find picture books about it? Do you pray for them? All of those things, I guess, we do. All of them. But more important than all of those things is that in the home, in the everydayness of our life, the ordinary places of our life, just letting them be touched by Jesus through us, those who know him, those who experience him in their life. Every parent makes lots of sacrifices. I wonder what sacrifices some of these parents made to push through the crowd or to even be there that day or to be patient and keep the kids from running amok in front of all the heavies around, so that waiting for it, that little break in the traffic so that they can get close to Jesus. Parents make all kinds of sacrifices for their children, for their education, for their safety, for their, you know, a house over their head, a roof over their head. Beyond that, giving them opportunities, perhaps for music or sport or whatever kinds of opportunities, to draw and be creative and help, learn responsibilities and all of those sorts of things. What are all these compared with the opportunity to be touched by Jesus Christ, the risen, living God? Wonderful. People were bringing children to him so that he would touch them and bless them. But the verse goes on to say, but the disciples, the ones who are the closest to Jesus, the ones who know Jesus thinking more than anyone else, the disciples, it says, reprimanded them and discouraged them from coming. Strikes us. Why would they want to do that? Maybe the disciples made two assumptions. The first assumption was that an assumption about children. The children were a nuisance. Children were, you know, they took up time. They were time wasters. They were not important. Yes, yes, all very nice. Yes, yes, yes. But come on, this is Jesus, you know. The other assumption they made about Jesus was that he's too busy. He's too tired, perhaps. Or he's too important. Jesus wouldn't want to do this. So they kind of try to step in to sort of, you know, as bodyguards kind of thing, to sort of deflect people that are wanting to come in and take up his time. There was a young chap in our church years and years and years ago, back in the 90s, called James, another James. And he was a kid who, if you talked to him, you had to really want to talk to him. You had to listen. You couldn't just walk past James and say, "G'day, James, how you going?" Because as you disappeared, he would go, "Well, I'm..." And you just sort of, "Oh." So you stop and you go back. Say, "Sorry, did you say something?" "Well..." And he'd stand there, you know, with one hand on his chin and say, "On a scale between 0 and 10, I'm probably only about 7. "Oh, okay. But last night, I was 4. "Oh." All these important adults standing over there wanting to, you know, pick my brain. "What happened last night?" "Well..." And then he would tell you a big story, an important story. It was his story. I remember saying to his dad after this happened a couple of times, I said to his dad, "You know, when you say hi to James, you really got to be prepared to stop, don't you?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "If you haven't got time, don't say anything to him." And I thought, so wonderful. But how easy it is to rush over people. And it's not just children, it's anyone, isn't it, you know? And I know there are some people that are great time wasters, but I always think of James, and he's a grown adult now, got children of his own. He's still the same sort of person, though, I'm sure. These disciples were indignant. angry, some translations say. If they only knew, what this teaches us is that if we want to get offside with God, if we want to get God mad at us, if we want to get in the way of a child coming to Jesus, then we're going to make ourselves offside with the living God, aren't we? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these, he says in verse 14. Verse 15, receive the kingdom of God, he says, like a child receives the kingdom of God. A child receives the kingdom of God in faith. Not all the answers, not all the bottles put in place, but with a trust in the personal God. Receive the kingdom of God like a child receives the kingdom of God, or Jesus says you'll not enter it at all. And then he takes the children. And I read to you from the Amplified because that brings out the strength of the word that's used. It makes it clear that he took them one by one in his arms. It wasn't just some great big general, bless you all. He took the children one by one in his arms, as you do. You lift that child up, and you just look into their eyes. There's nothing more beautiful than the eyes of a child. That's what he did. Took the children one by one in his arms and blessed them. That's a churchy kind of a word, isn't it? What does it mean to bless someone? Who bless you, my child? Like that guy at the petrol station I was telling you about the other day. I needed $15. I'd left my phone, wallet and everything at home. And there was people there that were, they said, oh, bad luck, mate. All the best. Thanks, see ya. And I was stuck in the petrol station and it was a bit like the blessing, Bless you. I don't like that word much because it gets used so much in churchy kind of ways. But what the Amplified says, bless them. And then in brackets it says, with kind and encouraging words. He placed his hands upon them. Let us remind children everywhere that Jesus is still taking them in his arms. And even today, in our day and age, when Jesus is not visible, he's still living. He was raised from the dead. And he relates to us one by one, each of us, even us oldies. He relates to us one by one. He knows us one by one. He knows everything about us. He cares about everything about us. We matter to him. Doesn't matter if he doesn't matter to us. We matter to him. Doesn't even matter if we don't believe in him. He believes in us. And he loves us. And he wants to speak kind and encouraging things to us. Things about ourselves. That we're precious, that we're special. He wants to say these kind and encouraging things to us because he knows more than anyone that we live in a world where this just does not happen. Darkness is on the move. People are being treated abysmally. Every old person in a nursing home needs to have kind and encouraging things said to them. Every child in a school, the ones that are standing off in the quadrangle, on the corner, just having their lunch because they're too insecure to get out there with the other kids. Or they're worrying about something or the teenage gang that's wandering down Rundle Mall the guys at Westcare in the end of the city who are, sticking out their chests to one another on opposite sides of the road, sort of, willing one another to step across the road and I'll show you who's boss. All of these people need to hear kind and encouraging things from God about them, that they're precious. They're a human being. They're a person. That he loves them. He wants to speak to all the children. He wants to show them the things that he said in the scriptures, where are his kind and encouraging things. He wants them to know that his everlasting arms are all around them. Let's remind ourselves of these things too. Let us not be adults who drift and grow too big to think that we need God. He took the children one by one in his arms and blessed them with kind and encouraging words, placing his hands upon them. I won't go on to the other passage. Let me just say, as you remember the passage that Roland read to us, the other passage, Jesus comes to Jerusalem, his first visit to Jerusalem as an adult in his ministry in John, comes to Jerusalem. The first place he visits, it's not the temple, it's not the palace, it's not the home of the high priest, or it's not the Sanhedrin, it's not the market, it's not the hotel so he can have a good rest before the next day begins. First place he goes to when he gets to Jerusalem is the local asylum, where there's this gathering of broken people who are gathered around this pool because there was some superstition about an angel would come down and touch the water and it would all bubble up. It was probably a natural spring that bubbled up and had some sort of healing beings in it, I guess. But people saw it in perhaps a more superstitious way than that. And it seemed like it only bubbled for a little while, and so it was only the first couple of people that got in that received any kind of benefit from the natural springs. And there was this poor man there who'd been there for 38 years who could never get there into the water quick enough because no one was there to help him. Everyone was there looking out for themselves. Again, such a picture of our world, isn't it? That's the place Jesus goes to before he does anything else in Jerusalem. So everything that we've said about children, we can say about people with disabilities, we can say about people with issues, we can say about people with problems. You know what they say? Problem people are usually people with problems. We can say this about anyone that's broken. We can say it about anyone because everyone is broken, aren't they? We all are, in different ways, shapes and forms. In those days, people with disabilities were viewed as being punished by God. Our culture favours the clever, favours the strong, favours the productive, but see no value in the broken, the elderly, because we're useless. I mean, no one comes out perhaps and says that in as many words. But we can feel it, they can feel it. Wasted space to be used and exploited or neglected. John 5 is a wonderful passage. Jesus goes to these people first, the broken people, because they matter to him. A person never stands as tall as when they stoop to help a child. The reason that is true is because that's what God did. God was never more God than when he stooped to come to planet Earth, to die in our place on the cross. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, while we were still helpless, powerless to provide for our own salvation, at the right time, Christ died as a substitute for the ungodly. That's us. A person never stands as tall as when he stoops to help a child. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to see in you love in all of its fullness and richness, as you are the God of the open hands. You are the God who welcomes us. You are the God who searches us out in a crowd like you found, like Jesus found that cripple later, once he'd been given a hard time by the religious heavies. Loving Heavenly Father, help us to see in you who you really are, not who the facades that's put up and all the blockages that have disfigured you in the eyes of people in the world. Help us to see, Father, that in your treatment of children and people with needs, that this is what you did for us as a whole world. And help us, Father, in that spirit, with your power and love within us, to be like that in this coming week, as we mix and mingle with people who matter, people who are precious, people who need to hear and be treated in a way that reminds them that they are persons, that they're real, and that they are loved. Help us to do this, we pray, through your Spirit's power, in Jesus' name. Amen.